Dear friends, thank you for being with us. We are going to start or begin our lecture. We are going to study today the life as a path to initiation, as a path of initiation. We are indeed going to delve deeper into this subject to find out where the initiatory path is located. Initiation is this secret path which can lead us from darkness to light. It is a sacred path that all peoples, sage peoples, have spoken about in ancient times. In all the sacred books, it is the path that can lead us to the truth. Initiation is a set of processes that we can and we must carry out to return to that which has no name, to that which has no shore, nor any limit. The mission that we all have, we as human beings living on this planet, is to get to perfection, to perfect ourselves, to know ourselves, to self-realize, to develop in an harmonious way, all our internal capacities and faculties. And this path is called the initiation. So, initiation cannot be bought or sold either. And no one can give us initiation in this three-dimensional world, in this physical world. So let us flee these schools and individuals which want to sell us or give us initiation because they are not authentic. Of course, initiation is not an easy subject. Not everyone can obtain it. It is only for a few. It is for this reason that in the Dhammapada, the marvelous book or work of Buddha Sakyamuni, we are told, among men, few are those who arrive on the other shore. Few are those who arrive, those who get to eliminate their psychological defects so they can cross to the other shore. The others, that refers to us, the others walk on this bank, running from one side to another without any objective. So this is the way that the Dhammapada refers to the difficulty of attaining, of getting the initiation, self-realization of ourselves. Jesus said something similar. Of a thousand who look for me, one may find me. Of a thousand who find me, one follows me. Of a thousand who follow me, one is mine. So, this let us know. This lead us to reflect on the difficulty of attaining the initiation. Also, the Bhagavad Gita says, among thousands of men, perhaps one tries to achieve perfection. Among those who try, possibly, one achieves perfection, and among the perfect, perhaps one knows me perfectly. So Krishna tells us exactly the same thing as the Bhagavad Gita, the song of the Lord. Thus, this path is not intended for everyone. One should not imagine that by entering these Gnostic studies or being in any religion, in a philosophical group or in any sect or group of any kind, we succeed already. We reached already our goal, that we are already on this initiatory path. No. The great masters are very clear about this subject. Buddha and the Dhammapada, Jesus or Krishna tell us how difficult it is to attain or to get to this initiation. This is the initiation is about surpassing oneself. It is fighting against one's psychological defects. It is putting an end to all these bad habits that we have. It is helping people, helping others. It is knowing that this path means understanding that we are part of the same being. The Mayans clearly declare, "In lak esh alak en," which means, you are me, and I am you. This part is understanding that all humanity is one big family. Understanding that we are all imperfect, that we should not look for the faults of others, but look for them in ourselves. That's it. Everything this is part of the path. All of this is the path. This path is studied in all cultures during their golden age. Among the Incas, among the Mayans, among the Tibetans, and also among the Egyptians, they knew and had the teaching. This path was studied under the porticos of the temples and in the 1,000-year-old pyramids, among the Incas also. This path was studied by all these peoples. This path which leads to the truth, this path of intimate self-realization of the being, this initiatory path. And there were trials, of course, tests for aspirants to prove that they were ready to advance in teaching, in knowledge. This knowledge was given to those who deserved it, and who had a moral capable of receiving teachings by welcoming it and not by trampling on it or destroying it. In other times, therefore, in the times of the pharaohs, the aspirants were put to the physical test, and even in our time, in this Egypt of the pharaohs, the aspirants continue to be tested. They are no longer tested physically, but they continue to have trials. It is the same in the sacred Mayas area, among the Arhuaco Indians in the Sierra Nevada of Santa Marta, Colombia, as well as in Machu Picchu, and in all the wonderful areas of the world, of course, in the superior dimensions. These trials are no longer physical as they were in the past. The past, at the time of the Egypt of the pharaohs, the physical tests, the physical trials that were given to candidates were terrible and were for the few. It is a bit like those little tests you get when you ask for a work. So they want to see if you are capable of doing this work, right? If you are able to work, they will test you maybe for a month or something like that. So the first small test that we are given in this initiatory path are the four trials of the four elements. And these four trials were only given to trial, to test, and qualify the morale of the candidate. The morale, the determination, must be quantified, must be measured, because this path is not for everyone, it's not for just anyone, because we need people very qualified for these mysteries, for these teachings. This path is not for everyone. It is necessary to measure the spirituality of the aspirant. He or she must have a real desire for these teachings. He or she must demonstrate real fidelity for these teachings. He must have a steely will to do these practices. That's what it takes. That's what we need. The morale must be measured, because one must show true love for the cause. True love to be entitled to the mysteries. This is what these trials of the four elements are for. In the time of the pharaohs in Egypt, these trials were physical trials. In the trial of fire, the aspirant for initiation had to walk on a white-hot steel beam among them, and in a place where he could barely place a foot. He had to demonstrate great serenity and great calm to be able to successfully pass through this test or trial of fire. These four trials are related to the four main elements of nature: fire, water, air, and earth. These four elements of nature are in close proximity, relationship with many aspects of human beings. For example, the zodiac signs are associated with the four elements of nature throughout the temperament. There are zodiacal signs which are associated with fire. Some of them are associated with water, others with associated with air, and finally, there are some zodiacal signs associated with the element earth. All nature is made in accordance with these four elements. There are elementals, the creatures living inside the element. There are elementals of fire. They are called salamanders. Elementals or creatures in air. They are the sylph and sylphides. There are elementals living on earth, who are the pygmies and the gnomes. And in water, there are the undines and the nereids. These four elements are found, therefore, in everything. We must understand this. We must assimilate it to understand the mission we have in life. The test of the four elements are, therefore, related to fire, air, water, and earth. The ordeal by fire among the Egyptians is the one we have just seen. It air, the trial of air, the ordeal of air, the aspirant was placed in front of a precipice, and there, while suspended by a rope, he had to endure powerful winds and terrible hurricanes. In the water, the trial of water, the aspirant was placed in a pool, natural pool, with crocodiles. And the aspirant had to know magic words, exorcisms, and many other things to be able to swim across this pool full of crocodiles. If he failed, he would die, of course. In the trial of earth, the aspirant was placed in a temple inside a pyramid and left alone there, without saying anything to him, and left for a long time. Then, suddenly, the walls surrounding began to move and move closer to him. The walls moved closer together by special mechanisms, and if the seeker cried, shouted, or if he had fright, if he was desperate, the ordeal ended, and he was thrown out, telling him that he was not made to follow this path. This path of initiation was not for him, so he could not enter into the mysteries. These four trials were not done so that we could prove that we were a man or a woman, virile, or physically strong man or physically strong woman, no, but to measure the morale of the aspirant, of the candidate. All these challenges exist today. They have not disappeared. These trials are found in life itself, and rare is the one who will emerge victorious from them. What happens most often is that we fail in life, and we fail miserably. Initiation is life itself. We do not need to go to Tibet, for example, to receive an initiation, or to the Mayans, or with the Egyptians. Absolutely not. Your initiation is the life you are already living. Many people think that by going to certain places, by entering a tribe, he or she will receive an initiation. Not at all. They are completely wrong. And there are even some who think that with some hallucinogenic herbs, they will receive initiation. The only thing we manage to do with this is to damage our organism and get lost. And of course, to fall into the even worse, vice or addiction. So, initiation don't happen like that. Many have misconceptions and preconceptions about many initiations. Initiation is learning to live. It is in our existence that we find initiation, the initiatory path. It is in the problems of our daily life that we encounter at home, at work, at school. There is where initiation is found. So it may not sound kind of fancy, does it? But let me repeat it. The initiation is made to test the morale, the attitude of the aspirant, to measure spirituality, to measure if he's worth receiving superior knowledge. So initiation is learning to lie. The test of the four elements are given to us at every moment in life. They are the same ones that were given at the time of the pharaohs in ancient Egypt, walking on white-hot steel beams, suspended in a precipice by a rope, enduring violent winds, placed in a pool filled with crocodiles, and finding yourself between two walls which are getting closer and closer. Now, these trials happen in our everyday life. We have them while living in our family, in the various problems that we encounter, in the adversities that we have in the family, at work or with others, with other people. It is not by running away from home or stopping working, as many think, that we will enter the path of initiation. It is not by dropping everything, by entering gnosis. No, no. Gnosis is life, intensely lived. It is not by fleeing to a solitary place, to a desert island, or to a cave that we will arrive to initiation. To think this way is pure fantasy. It is like the teenager who can no longer stand his parents and who wants to be free. We want to escape the authority of his parents, and who wrongly thinks that by leaving home, he will solve all his problems. So he leaves home, and then what? What does he discover then? Well, he has to pay rent. He has to pay for what he eat, what to wear. And he finally realized that this is not a solution. Many people wrongly think that by freeing themselves from the authority of their parents, they will be happy. Likewise, many of us think that we will obtain initiation by withdrawing into a cave or into the forest in solitude. But no. Dear friends, we must know that understand that initiation is our life, is life itself, but a life intensely lived. We must confront the problems of life and not run away from them. We must grab the bull by the horns and enjoy intensely our existence. And then yes, we could then be candidates for initiation. The master, Elena Petronila Blavatsky, is very clear in her book, The Voice of Silence. She tells us, do not think that by living in a dark forest, in proud, withdrawal, and being far from men, do not believe you that by nourishing yourself only with herbs and roots, and by quenching your thirst with melted snow from the great cordillera, from the great mountains, do not believe you, devotee, that all this can lead you so far to the goal of final liberation. It is therefore not by running away or by saying, if I had a lot of money, I could dedicate myself entirely to the change, to self-realization, to gnosis. Or say, if I did not work, what time I will have to study well and devote myself entirely to the Gnostic teachings. Why must I work and work constantly, daily? Young people have ridiculous fantasies. When I get to be an engineer, when I get to work, when I get to be a doctor, then I will be able to dedicate myself completely to Gnostic teachings. Others also say, when I get married, when I have my spouse, my home, then hand with hand together, we will set out to conquer a being. To think that is completely fanciful. No, my friends, the path is not in the future. The path is here and now, in this present moment, where we are, as we are, sick or healthy, with money or without money, with a house or without a house, married or single, old or young. Fortunately, the 1,000-year-old Sphinx, this marvelous Sphinx, as well as all the Sphinxes found in Egypt and also in Greece, clearly show us the path to follow. They shall ask the rule to follow and the conditions required. I repeat it, the morale must be measured, and we must emerge successfully from these trials to receive, to be worthy enough as to receive the mysteries, to be able to truly enter into Gnosis, into the teachings. We can spend our whole life listening to lectures, but we must have the characteristic of the Sphinx to be considered true Gnostic studies, Gnostic students, not for any Gnostic instructor to qualify you, but to be able to get to the temples of the White Lodge in the superior dimensions. That being a real Gnostic student. We are, for the moment, simple aspirant to Gnosis. One could even say that we are only sympathizers of Gnosis, because a true Gnostic student is one whose morale has already been measured. This morale is measured by at each moment of our life, in the face of each problem we encounter in our existence, in each difficulty we have in life, when we have to pay rent and can't afford it. Oh my God, that could be painful. When we have an accident and we have to pay a lot of money. When we get sick. When we don't know what to do about the loss of money. What work? It is precisely at this moment that we must demonstrate that we are aspirants to the teachings, to the knowledge. In any case, the problems will always be there. The problems will always exist. They exist not because we are Gnostics, no. Everyone encounters problems. But if they are well managed, if they are wisely managed, then we will be able to enter the path of initiation. This Sphinx has precisely those four elements. Here we observe a Greek Sphinx. It has a human head, the wings of an eagle, the thorax, the chest of a lion seen from the front, and the claws of a lion, and his remaining body and his hind legs are those of a bull. It is a very symbolic piece because it represents the virtues that the Lanu must have. The word Lanu in Sanskrit means disciple, the beginner, because these virtues allow us to pass the trials of the four elements successfully. The wings of the eagle represent the element air. The flanks of the bull represent the element earth. The lion's claws, as well as its golden torso, the golden chest, represents the element fire. The human face symbolizes the water element. These are the four elements represented in the 1,000-year-old Sphinx. We do not find these symbols only on the Sphinx. We also find them in ancient churches. We can observe, in fact, inside the dome, inside the domes of some churches, the four evangelists painted marvelously. These four evangelists are closely related to the four characteristics of the Sphinx. Lucas, for example, is always represented with a bull, which is the element earth. Mark, with his gospel, is always represented with a lion at his side, which symbolizes the element fire, the element igni. Matthew is always represented next to an angel, which symbolizes the face of the Sphinx. The element water, and John the Evangelist is always represented with an eagle, which symbolizes the element air. These are the four characteristics of the Sphinx that we must possess. It is not theories that will help us. Theories are like weeds that grow anywhere and everywhere. We are told to be see some examples. We are told to be vegetarians, to be able to walk the path. Others tells us that we should not be vegetarians. We are told that we must do breathing exercises, that they are very important. Others supports the opposite. We are then completely lost, no longer knowing what to do. We are told everything and its opposite, and we are lost in all these labyrinths of theories. These labyrinths existed a long time ago in the temples of mysteries, like the famous labyrinth of Crete, the Isle of Crete, where the Minotaur was found. These labyrinths still exist today, and these are all these theories around us. Most of us stay in theories. We remain lost there. We read many books, we study many authors, but in practical life, we still being nothing. We continue to discuss, We continue to experience thousands of things in life. We continue to have thousands of problems. We marry, we get divorced, we have problems on all sides because we are in theories. And they lead us to nothing, to not truth, nor any reality. This is how it is, unfortunately. We need to have the claws of the lion. That's what we need. They are the symbol of the Sphinx. The claws of the lion represents the element fire, the spiritual force, not physical force, but spiritual force, because it is this spiritual force, the one that can allow to be serene, to have a gentleness of character in the face of various circumstances of life. In the face of the difficult circumstances of life, we must have the characteristic of lion. Yes, the lion is honest, strong, and we must be like him. But not only that, we must also be serene and have a gentleness of character. Imagine that we arrived home very tired from work. After long hours of work and after having endured multiple difficulties during the day, so we arrive home and the house is in disorder. The meal is not ready. The cleaning is not done. Imagine that we are stuck in a car in a traffic jam with noise everywhere, people honking constantly, shooting and screaming. It takes hours to go a few meters, a few inches. Well, it is precisely there, in this moment of life, where the trial is given to the students. It is in these moments that we can prove that we are true Gnostic students by not getting involved in this situation, but remain serene, but remain calm. It is the moment to use the claws of the lion while remaining serene, but also having, in addition, a gentleness of character. This is the test of fire, the trial of fire. As you see, the trial of fire is submitted to us every day. And one of these psychological defects that prevent us from successfully passing this trial is anger. Anger. So let us imagine that we are facing with someone who insults us, who attacks us, who uses irony at our expense, who makes fun of us. We are not saying that we should not defend ourselves. No, we must defend ourselves when it is necessary. But of course, we could defend ourselves better if we had this spiritual strength, if we remained serene, if we did not identify with the words of the one who insults us. If we managed to remain serene, it is very difficult And anyone can say that. Few people can remain calm in the face of someone who is insulting him. Let's imagine again that we want to go visit some archaeological place around the world, Machu Picchu, the pyramids, the Mayan pyramids, or the Egyptian pyramids, right? So you dream with that moment every day for months, maybe years. We are saving some money and we are ready to purchase the tickets, the flying tickets. You're ready to do all of that, and suddenly, bam, pops up. Some kind of problems arrive. And you have to move, you have to use those savings to surpass this problem. And you remain frustrated, maybe in anger. But right there, we have to remind the trials of fire. Remain serene and calm. That is a trial of fire for that day. That's how our morale or attitude is tested. So to prove that we are ready to receive the mysteries. Otherwise, we would fail miserably. So, we feel immense frustration and disappointment. And if we fail, if we continue feeling anger, all this makes us just one more piece of wood floating in the furious sea of life, tossing us from side to side, in the currents, on the waves of a furious ocean. We must triumph in these trials of the battlefield of daily life. Yes, because daily life is the battlefield. It is the game of the battle among the Maya, the ground of the religious battle, where we fought against the powers of the forces of evil. The initiatory path is nowhere else. It is found here and now in our life. It is there where we are tested. It is there where the aspirant is tested. It is there where we must demonstrate temperance, spiritual force, and strength. It is at this moment that we manage to move forward in the conquest of ourselves. It is in daily life that we must achieve this and nowhere else. We must achieve this in a relationship with our fellow human beings. If someone criticizes us, we normally get angry and insult in return, don't we? So we have to learn something very amazing according to Gnostic principles. If we are criticized and if we are disturbed, do you know what actually happens? If we get angry, it is because we have the fault in us that the other is criticizing. If this were not the case, we will not get angry. And if we criticize someone, accusing them of a fault, it is because we have this same fault in ourselves. Others are a reflection of ourselves. We must keep these two important points in mind in these gymnasiums of daily life, in the relationship we have with our fellow human beings. If in work we have an unbearable boss who tyrannizes us and who makes us very angry by always criticizing us, we must tell ourselves that this criticism that he's giving us and which makes us angry is very present in us. We have this defect, that we criticize in ourselves. If we didn't have it, we will not get angry. And then, this criticism that we make to our boss, that we say to him, or we blame him for, what an I ask in him, and that means that we have it. in an important way into ourselves. The defects we criticize in others, we have it in ourselves, even in a greater amount. So if we get so angry, if we identify ourselves so much, we will never be able to pass the trial of fire. If we get angry, if we get upset because of everything that can be said about us, then we will not be candidates of initiation. There is a way to measure how prepared we are. So we must eliminate the anger itself, the ego of anger, if we are to pass the trial of fire. As long as we possess this ego, this defect of anger within us, with all the ramifications it possesses, we will never be able to enter the path of initiation. So, no angry person can enter the path of initiation. The one who disintegrates the self of anger, the self of impatience, the screaming ego, the punching ego, the ego that insults, and all its facets, and yes, he who succeeds in this can become a disciple of the White Lodge. He can be a true Lanu or disciple of the White Lodge. The White Lodge is a group of self-realized masters such as Jesus, Buddha, Quetzalcoatl, Hermes Trismegisto, Fuji, Zoroaster, Krishna. To be a disciple of the White Lodge, we must work at all of this within ourselves. When we triumph in our daily activities, when we manage to remain serene in our circumstances, in our family, at work, and in the face of all the difficulties of life, with economic problems and in really very difficult circumstances, this is reflected in the superior worlds. When we do things correctly here in the physical world, when we pass these trials here in the physical world, then in the superior worlds, superior dimensions, everything we do and have done is reflected over there. Because in the astral world, in the fifth dimension, the world of dreams, the trials is also submitted to us. So it happened like this. If we dream that we are pursued, insulted, and if in the astral world we react with anger, the test will be a failure. And this will mean that in the physical world we do not we have not remained sufficiently serene. We will then have to work even more intensely on the self, on the ego of anger, to obtain the claws of lion. But that's not all. It is only a part, only a quarter of the work to become a disciple. Not only must we have the claws of lion, but we must also have the wings of the ego. The wings of the ego represents transcendental mysticism, transcendental spirituality, the true spirituality. It is not a question of, as Master Jesus says, of making a martyr's face when you fast by saying, "I have been fasting for a few days." No. Master Jesus says, "Be clean about yourself, arrange your tonic, calm yourself and be well, so that no one realizes that you are fasting. All these things we do are of no use. Those externals, poses. True transcendent spirituality is different. It is only successful when one understands gross materialism. The materialism in which, unfortunately, all humanity finds itself entangled today. We all live in appalling materialism. Material things are necessary, but no one says otherwise. Material things are useful. We need a house to live in. We need clothes to cover our body. We need food to nourish our body. No one denies that. Of course, a very different things in this attachment that we have for the material. This excessive desire that we have on material things, which make us forget precisely the spiritual part. Right? One thing is that we need a house, maybe a car, clothes, food. We need them. But another thing is to be attached to all physical things. As long as we are and remain attached to material things and people, we will not be able to pass this trial of the air. So we must understand this correctly. Some will say, what? You shouldn't be attached to people? I no longer have to love my grandmother, whom I love very much? That would mean that being a Gnostic student means you should not be like that? You should not love your parents? No, my friends. No one is saying that. Love is truly something wonderful, extraordinary. Love, true love, is the force that allows us to enter into initiation. But love is not attachment at all. Attachment is very different. The attachment we have with a person is often of an economic nature. We think we love them, but no. It is the attachment because of what they give us. A young adult, for example, whose parents pay for his studies, his rent, his clothes, and his food, will be attached to his parents because of all of this. But if one day the parents can no longer do this, provide to be able to give all of these, to fulfill all of these necessities, because maybe they lost their job, will this son or daughter continue to love them as much? If in fact this young person continues to love the parents, that may be true love. But if he forgets his parents because they no longer serve any purpose, then that was attachment. It is therefore necessary to destroy attachments for true love to disappear, because the attachment implies some interest, oftentimes economic interest. So you must learn to use them, to use the things in the physical world wisely. Yes, we can, of course, we can work for getting a house that is a natural thing, would not be attached to the things. We will never be against, and I repeat it, we will never be against material things, and never against true love either. Never. We need love to move forward in this esoteric path, on this initiatory path. But attachment is something else. Attachment is selfishness, an absurd selfishness being only the extension of self-love. It's actually because that person is just a reflection of ourselves. They love us, they take care of us, they protect us. So we think we love that person, but we are only attached to that person, because this very same self-love projected into someone else that give us what we think we deserve. In the face of losing a husband, for example, women, wives demonstrate so much love, so much more love. Why didn't they demonstrate that love in their daily, in their previous daily life? Why, in the face of the possibility of losing him, maybe in the front, in a war? Why only then? Well, maybe because that was attachment and not true love. Love is very different. Paul of Tarsus tells us, it is a total renunciation. It is total forgiveness. It is doing everything for the person we love and keeping nothing for ourselves. This is true love. Love is complete disinterest, and it should not be confused with attachment. So, once again, material things are, of course, necessary, but there must be a balance between matter and spirit. There must be a balance. To stop working to follow the spiritual path is fanaticism. It is ignorance. We need to feed ourselves. We need to have a roof to live under. We need to have something to wear, and it is only achieved by working. There had to be a balance. Unfortunately, in the times we live in, we have completely forgotten the spiritual, and they are too attached to material things. So you must learn to use material things without becoming attached to them. That is to say, it is necessary that we learn how to live. We are very attached to the things and people around us, but we must learn to love people and learn to give a fair value to material things. Give them the value they really have. We could learn to live loving all fellow human beings without selfish attachment. Attachment binds us to the world of matter. They prevent us from flying to the heights of the great mountains of spirituality. We must destroy all these chains. We must be like the air, which passes everywhere, which does not hold back, which does not attach, which does not stop. This is what the test of air, this is what the trial of air is. It's difficult to learn how to lie. It is not about mystical poses or faces, or giving yourself fancy names. I am an initiate. In my past life, I was so and so. I did this or that. I have this level, this degree in the school, in this school, in this religion. This is just nonsense. Initiation is learning to live intensely. The trial of error in the astral world is to see yourself fall into a bottomless abyss. We dream that we fall into a precipice. If we cry, if we scream, if we despair, it is certain that in the physical world we still have to learn the relationship we have with material things and people. We must really learn to love. This is what we lack a lot of. The human face of the Sphinx represents the element water and symbolizes the intelligence we need to adapt to different circumstances in life. The test of fire is serenity and gentleness of character. The test of the trial of air is detachment. The trial of air is detachment from things and people. And the trial of water is being like water. If we put some water in a circular container, it takes the shape of the container. If we let water flow in the streams, it takes the shape of the bed of this stream. If we put water in a glass, it takes the shape of the glass. It adapts. This is the test, the trial of water. We must learn to adapt to different circumstances in life. If we want to become initiates, if we want to enter the path of truth, if we want to pass from shadow to light, from darkness to immortality, we absolutely must bring together these characteristics that are shared by the Sphinx. Initiation is not something painful. We must learn to adapt to the different circumstances of life. Initiation cannot be bought or salt. Initiation is learning to live intensely at every moment. Learning to live like water. If we no longer have money, learning to live without money. If we lose our job, do not despair. Not to sink. Not to fall. We must not succumb to the circumstances of life. Learn to live these moments, even without money. See what we shall do. Strive, rise, and have courage. We can get to know some people who may not know anything about the initiatory path, anything about esoteric knowledge, anything at all. Even so, they can teach us how to live. They get some problems, they may get even an accident, and they continue thriving. They continue working, fighting in life. There are people who may work in some humble, very humble jobs, like getting plastic from garbage, but getting enough as to pay for the career of their children, simply by fighting every day, without despair, without sorrow, without complaining. That is the characteristic that we must adopt and grow within ourselves to be able to learn how to live intensely and to be able to pass the trials of the elements so as to be worthy of being or becoming a disciple of the White Lodge. There are these kind of people around, and we have a lot to learn from them. So if we have money, let's live with money. Maybe it will be a little bit easier, isn't it? But if we don't have money, still we have to live, to learn how to live with it, without it. Yes, we must adapt. We must learn to go through these times, as the Bible says, to live in times of lean cows and live in times of fat cows. We have to learn how to live in the city as well as in the countryside. To learn to live in the rain or without rain, in a cold weather or in a hot weather. Nowadays, everything bothers us. Everything. And we can never stand anything. We are complaining for all things. In reality, the exterior is only the reflection of the exterior, the outside is the reflection of the interior. And if we do not change internally, the exterior will always give us problems. We must have the human head of the Sphinx, the human face of the Sphinx, to transform ourselves into a Sphinx. We must be a Sphinx. And this head is intelligence, which allows us to learn how to live through all difficulties. This trial of water in the astral world, in the world of eternity, the world of dreams, it is to find ourselves in a limitless ocean. We are all alone, not a boat, not an island, not anything, no one. There is only the ocean, and we are in the middle, all alone. If we cry, if we fall into despair, we will not pass the trial of water. On the other hand, if we remain serene, if we swim without getting tired, we will pass this marvelous trial with success. And it will be the faithful reflection of what we have learned to do, of what we have learned to react in the physical world, in the three-dimensional world. So the exterior, the way we behave in the trials, are the reflection of our interior state. So we must urgently acquire those virtues. The fourth virtue is to have the body of the bull, to open the way into the depths. It is developing tenacity to be able to take advantage of the difficult adversities of life. It is not only a question of adapting to the circumstances of life for the trial of water. That's one thing. Another thing is to take advantage of these adversities, take advantage of the problems in life, the problems and difficulties. You must not only be smart enough as to adapt to the situation, but you must know how to take advantage of them. That's the trial of Earth, to take advantage of the adversities of life. Fortunately, Master Jesus gave us the key. He showed us the path to follow. In one of the verses, one of the paragraphs, which are found not in the Bible, official Bible, but in these books called, wrongly called, Apocrypha, there is an extraordinary anecdote. The apostles, as well as Master Jesus, were walking on a path, and they saw the decomposing corpse of a dog. So all the apostles made faces, disgusting faces, and you know, the smell was unbearable. The smell of death, the smell of a rotten body. The only person in front of this spectacle who saw a positive thing among all this rottenness was Master Jesus, who told them how beautiful are the teeth of the dog, how white they are. He saw the positive from the negative. He had the ability to take advantage of an unpleasant situation. It may seem irrelevant and important, but it is. It is if we want to learn how to learn, if we want to learn how to live. You know, problems are always part of life, always. A life without problems would not be life. Without problems, life would not exist. So the problems will never end. If the problem stopped existing, there will be our life. As long as we live, as long as we have a physical body, problems will exist. We cannot dream of a world without problems. Because life is like a gymnasium, a gym that allows us to know ourselves, to give us the possibility of self-discovery. If we are alert, if we stay alert and vigilant, like in times of war, and if we apply during our daily life the Gnostic principles, of course, we will be able to advance much further. This ordeal in the astral world, the world of dreams, is to see ourselves between two mountains which are approaching and which threaten to crush us. If we remain calm, it is because we have succeeded in obtaining the body of the bull. We must know how to remain serene as much in the physical world, taking advantage of the difficulties of life as in the astral world, with the trials of Earth, since it will be a reflection of what we do in the physical life. Dear friends, We must then have the four qualities of the Sphinx, transforming ourselves into a living Sphinx. When we possess these four qualities, we can have the name of Shela. Shela is a disciple. It's the equivalent of the synonym as Lanu. It is the aspirant to the White Lodge. It is to be a disciple of the White Lodge. And if we are disciples of the White Lodge, it is because we already have the qualities, the morale, to take this path. To take this path which can lead us from the light to immortal wisdom. If we do not have this characteristic, if we do not have these qualities, it is difficult to say, but these are the words of Master Jesus. We are compared with pigs. With little pigs. And the Master Jesus says, don't give pearls to pigs, because they will trample them. Transcendental knowledge, superior knowledge, if we do not change, if we do not have this required determination, this morale, will be trampled in this knowledge. We distort it. We degenerate it. We will adapt it, perverting it to our convenience. These words of Jesus are harsh, but true. Without the virtues of the four characteristics of the Sphinx, the sacred teachings will always be trampled. In Mozart's Magic Flute, we will find a word that we need to enter on this path of initiation. We highly recommend to listen to the Mozart's Magic Flute, because in this beautiful work, all the virtues necessary to have to enter the initiatory path are found, are described. We have the Quetzalcoatl Cultural Institute, a book that explains this work of Mozart, and it is called the Magic Flute in the Initiation. So you can ask for it. Understand a little bit better, or a lot better, this incredible work of the Magic Flute. And this work, on this opera, we have Pamina, who appears, and she represents the woman, all of those women who yearn for the path, who seek for the path. Pamina represents all of you women who look for the path, who work for the path. So in the Magic Flute, Pamina arrives and she tries to see Tamino, the prince, the lead character. She was separated from him and could not find him. She had not seen him. And it tells us exactly what we need. She says, the word that we need so as to step in and walk the path of initiation. She says, in this work, everywhere I will be at your side. I myself will guide you. Love will lead me. It will sow the path with roses, because roses and thorns go together. And if you play with magic flute, it will protect us along the way. In a magical hour, my father carved it from the depths of an ancient oak tree, between thunder and lightning, storms and hurricanes. He come and played the flute. He will guide us along the path of fear. saw my difference? There is the answer of this. Pamina, the revolutionary woman, the warrior woman, give us the key. And this key is love, the only force that can transform us, the force that can place us on the path to initiation. Because love can do anything. Love enters everywhere. Love conquers everything. That is the force of love. Dear friends, we will end this lecture with the words of Master Samael, who says, "To love, how great is this to love? Only great souls can and know how to love." Please remember that love is the path to initiation. The bibliography that we suggest is to listen to Mozart's Magic Flute, with its subtitles in English, of course. And also we recommend you the book The Magic Flute and the Initiation, that can be found in our website, www.samaelgnosis.us. Dear friends, thank you so much for your attention. This is the lecture for today. Have a great weekend.